Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Ding, ding!
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Monday morning. It's time to start off your week right with some NBA talk. I am Jared Weiss. I am joined by Mo DeKeel. What's going on, Mo?
Oh, not a whole lot, man. I'm just chilling.
I don't want you to do anything besides chilling when we're podcasting. But we're talking about a pretty fun Sunday, a pretty fun weekend in the NBA. We're going to bring it to you here on the Athletic Podcast Network with Jade Hoy producing behind the scenes. And I want to start off with the Atlanta Hawks leading most of this game against the Charlotte Hornets and then blowing it in the fourth quarter and then unblowing it in the fourth quarter. They win 105-101. That is without Trae Young in the game. Bogdan Bogdanovic played 40 minutes at 32 points, went 8-for-16 from three in this game, Mo.
Yeah, no, he was on fire from three. I mean, it was unbelievable. He was not on fire from two. He was one. I think if my math is correct, he was 1-for-6 from the field out, you know, inside the arc. So, you know, he just lit it up from deep, just constantly got good looks. And this is the kind of stuff you want to see from Bogdanovic, something that he started the season slow with injuries and things like that. But he's really rounding into form lately, Jared. And this is a positive sign for the Hawks moving forward.
Oh, it's scary that the Hawks are still getting wins when they, you know, they have Brandon Goodwin and Solomon Hill starting in this game, with all due respect to those guys, but they're without Trae Young, John Collins, DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish. It's insane that they're holding on with all these guys out. But they did have Levin Peppaloo step in for 13 points. What I thought was really interesting in this game is you have Bogdanovic going 8-for-16 from deep. He's kind of running point a lot of the time, only has 3 assists. Kevin Huerter, who's supposed to be their kind of spot-up guy, ends up with 7 assists in this game while shooting 1-for-6. And Brandon Goodwin did a really nice job stepping into the starting lineup. He had 17 points and 8 dimes.
Yeah, and I think the way the Hawks kind of run their offense, I don't know if I would say like Bogdanovic is supposed to have so many more assists or whatnot. I just think it's as the system rolls through it, some guys are going to be able to get other opportunities. And Herter's been awesome, you know, as it has flashed a lot of secondary playmaking skills and so on this season. So, you know, this is just kind of continues along that thread.
They have so much wing depth there. It is pretty crazy. And now Charlotte, this game was really close here, and you got to give Miles Bridges credit for that. He had 23 points, 9-for-17 from the field. You know, 2 straight really good games. And this one featured one of the best in-game dunks that we've seen. I usually would say in a long time, but this year, the way it's been going, maybe like in a couple weeks, really, but had a complete all the way tomahawk slam right over Clint Capella, someone who's been one of the best rim protectors in the NBA this year. But the credit to Bogdanovic. Bogdanovic came and responded pretty quickly with a three, where Charlotte could have kind of come back and run away with this, but the way that Bridges was impacting them.
Oh, let's not minimize how powerful that dunk was. I don't care that Bogdanović came down and hit a three. It was unbelievable. Like it was up there with like move over Anthony Edwards dunk on Watanabe. This was might have been so far the leading candidate for dunk of the year. That's how nasty this dunk was.
Wow. I won't put it over the Edwards one quite, but it was insane. I'm still having nightmares about it.
It was a seven. He dunked on a 7-footer, Jared.
That's true. That is true. Not just any 7-footer. It was Clint Capella. It was good. I think he can dunk pretty well. I'll definitely give him that.
Man, but you're going to put the Edwards dunked on a smaller guy.
Yeah, that's just true.
Do the math. True. Do the All math, right. man.
Okay. I've subtracted the inches, and you do make a good point. But one thing that I thought was interesting on a mathematical decision here was Terry Rozier has the ball on the right wing with, I guess, like 8 seconds left at that point, and has an open lane to drive with the team down two on this basically final possession, although there was a smaller defender in front of the rim. I feel like Rozier could have scored through him. Instead, Rozier decided to go take a really tough step back in the corner for three and ended up missing the shot pretty badly. What did you think of that decision?
You know, like, I agree with you. He had the lane, but Rozier has hit quite a few step backs, you know, to win games for this team. You know, just look at what he did against the Warriors a few weeks ago and so on. So I think, you know, he's just comfortable with that shot. It wasn't a terrible look, you know, when he did it. Granted, degree of difficulty is a little higher. So, you know, I wasn't in love with it, but it wasn't like, man, I want to kill him for it.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, he's been just really probably one of the five best step back 3-point shooters in crunch time this season. That really is his go-to shot. And he doesn't have the greatest history of finishing at the rim, although this year has been very good. So I do understand why he wanted to go that way. Heading out to Denver, the Nuggets were in control of this game. And then Nikola Jokic went to the bench. And before they knew it, the Celtics won 105-87. There's another game with the winning team scoring 105 points. This was an absolutely insane run from the Celtics, where I think it was a 27-3 run when Jokic the bench in the third quarter.
Even when he came back, it was a 31-3 run the Celtics that really just kind of blew this whole thing open.
So what the hell happened? I mean, this Nuggets team should be able to handle its own without Jokic, and then the defense just completely died with him going off.
Well, it was interesting. You know, I think part of their issues were that second unit. Even in the first half, that second unit was struggling a little bit. You know, no Jamal Murray. There was really no kind of firepower in that second unit, and they weren't defending well, so they almost gave up a lead at halftime. And so, you know, when Jokic goes out, just all the fire went out, and you could feel the thin air in Denver slowly just leaving the building, you know, with just the stunning run that the Celtics won on. It was really impressive, Jared. Like I was shocked watching it and just going like, oh, wow. Okay. I had the Celtics losing that game.
Oh, sure. It really seemed like that was going to happen. You kept waiting for the Celtics to be able to just get some control of Jokic and be able to find some offensive rhythm. It just wasn't happening. But they were just able to get to the rim over and over and over again once that second unit came out there, getting in transition off of forcing turnovers. You know, that's kind of how it usually starts when you're going to blow a lead. But the way that Boston kept hitting back, that was, I guess, uncharacteristic for them earlier in the year, a couple weeks ago, maybe, when they were really struggling with just dealing with teams outplaying them and not being able to kind of finish the game out. It seems like they're on a pretty good run of this now that they've won 5 out of the last 6.
Yeah, they're in a good situation. They're rolling with how they're feeling. It's just I don't trust them, though, Jared. Just every time I want to, they tend to go on a bad run.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think anyone's going to trust this team until they see it happen in the playoffs.
Like right when it looks like they're turning the corner, they blow. So they would drop a massive game and you're just like, oh, OK. Like, who do they play next?
They're in Portland after this one.
Yeah, right. Like it's one of those things where like we're going to be like feeling really good. They beat the Nuggets. They're rolling. And then they lose by 35.
Yeah, James going to drop 40. I'm sure. So that's their next game. The Nuggets, their next game is on Monday night in Golden State. And that matters because Nikola Jokic got pulled from this game with about 4.5 minutes left. And I was wondering at the time, like, why are they doing this? Is this just like they want to try micro ball to mix it up and just rest him for the next game? Mike Malone seemed to imply that is what they were doing. But it's fascinating to see maybe the front runner for MVP being taken out of a game for crunch time when it was only, you know, like a 15 point game or so. It wasn't like it was impossible for them to come back.
I have a little bit of a counterpoint. Jokic was losing his cool in that instance when Malone took him out. You know, he was complaining. He wasn't getting he didn't get a foul call. He almost did one of those really hard fouls in the backcourt where he tries to stop the play on Jason Tatum and he pulled back to avoid that foul. But he was just barking at the refs for a couple of possessions. And I think from there, I think Malone had seen enough. I don't know for sure, but just looking at the way everything was going, I think Malone was just like, nah, man, you got to go cool down and sit on the bench.
So do you think this was about him not wanting Jokic behaving that way out there because it was bad for the team and bad for him, or that he was worried about Jokic getting ejected and suspended if he lost his cool?
He wouldn't have gotten suspended if he just got ejected. But I just think it was just a bad look. And he was like, nah, dude, you need to sit down.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Let's get to some news. And there was some massive news this week with the Athletic's own John Krasinski breaking that the Minnesota Timberwolves are finally being sold. And they're being sold to Alex Rodriguez, of all people. He was joined by a group that is supposed to be purchasing the Wolves and presumably is not going to be moving the team out of Minnesota. What do you think of what it sounds like is going to be a principal owner, another former athlete from another sport buying into the NBA?
I have no problem with it, Jared. Hey, if they can turn this thing around, go for it. But, you know, we always talk about ownership being one of the biggest keys to, you know, having a successful franchise. And, you know, under Glenn Taylor, the Wolves just have not been successful. So I think, you know, change of ownership comes in time, and as long as they can find a way to turn it around, go for it.
No, this is going to be fascinating because this is going to be, I guess, basically the second example of a major athlete being a principal owner in a team. Obviously, Michael Jordan with the Charlotte Hornets. And this will be, you know, Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan. This will be obviously a different experience. So it'll be very interesting to see what the influence is there.
You don't follow baseball because Derek Jeter also, I believe, owns part of the Marlins. But we can move on.
There we go. Anthony Davis is finally coming back. It looks like he's going to be back sometime in the next week to week and a half. He is going to have his condition reevaluated on Thursday when the Lakers return home from their road trip, according to ESPN. So this is cool. The Lakers might actually have all their basketball players and actually be really good.
Almost. We're still waiting for LeBron. But, you know, they're progressing in the right direction, and this is kind of what they're going for, right? They were going to take it slow, make sure he's fully healthy before they get him back on the court. And, you know, like I've been saying all along, as long as they're healthy by the playoffs.
That's right. James Wiseman, done for the year, unfortunately, torn meniscus. Actually, I should say may miss the rest of the season. I'm assuming he's going to miss the rest of the season. What did you think of his rookie year, which obviously was very much interrupted by injuries? And what do you think this means for the Warriors going forward this year?
I mean, it just sucks for the Warriors because you're still trying to evaluate him. You know, I liked what he did. He showed flashes. I don't think he's as great as everybody thought he was at the start of the year, but I think he's serviceable big man, going to be a solid kind of pick and roll guy. You know, maybe it can eventually develop that jumper. He didn't shoot it so well towards after a hot start. He didn't really shoot it so well from deep, but if he can develop that, that would be good going forward. So, you know, it's going to be tough for the Warriors because now it's like, okay, we have to figure out what we're going to do, and we have another injury.
Let's go take a look at a game from Saturday evening, because this one had some really interesting things coming out of it. The Lakers, without Anthony Davis, without LeBron James, they beat the Brooklyn Nets with Kevin Durant, 126-101. It was almost a wire-to-wire win. The Nets had a brief lead in the late second quarter off of LaMarcus Aldridge layup, but the Lakers were pretty much running away with this one. I guess the first thing to go on is Andre Drummond having a 2010 game in only 22 minutes. This guy wanted to go to the Lakers and be putting up numbers as they waited for AD and LeBron to come back. And it seems like it's working out pretty well for him.
Yeah, I mean, this is he was the guy for them this game, right? Like they needed him. This is part of the reason why they needed to get him, was just because with everybody injured, at least he can help kind of keep them afloat during this run. I mean, no Kyle Kuzma, no Wes Matthews on top of, you know, AD and LeBron not being there. So it was big pickup for the Lakers.
Well, future Hall of Famer Taylor Horton Tucker, he had 14 points and 11 dimes in this game. But what was really interesting was Ben McLemore, another new guy, he had 17 points, went 5 for 10 from deep. How do you feel like the McLemore and Drummond additions are going to impact the Lakers? Is this going to really give them that kind of depth that they needed to do what they did last year?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Drummond maybe carries more importance for now, and then as long as he's okay with the fact that in crunch time, in playoff games, they're probably going to go to AD as the five. So he'll probably be on the bench. McLemore, nice pickup, good help for them adding wing depth. Another guy that can kind of streaky shooter, can light it up at times. So, you know, I don't know how much of a significant role he's going to play in the playoffs, but he's good right now in terms of a minutes eater.
Yeah. All right. Well, this game had a really weird argument between Kyrie and Dennis Schroeder. They both got ejected, and who knows what magical words were said in that moment, but it was very bizarre and certainly lit up NBA Twitter. But most importantly, while everybody had a pretty horrible shooting night, Kevin Durant, he played his second game back, had 22 points on 8 for 17 shooting, once again had 7 rebounds and 5 dimes, which he did in the previous game, although he did have 8 turnovers. I mean, how do you think KD is looking now as he only plays 24 minutes in the second game back from injury?
Yeah, he's looking good. He's coming back looking confident and things like that. There's rust. It's going to take a while. That's where the 8 turnovers kind of come into play. You know, not necessarily great defensively, but I think I had questions about his defense even when he was coming back before he got hurt at the start of the season. So, you know, just got to see how this whole thing shakes out. It's just 2 games. It's too small of a sample size to make like a big declarative statement of like, Kevin Durant's back.
All right, well, Kevin Durant's back, and that's going to do it for today's show. So for Mo DeKeel and Jade Hoy, I am Jared Weiss. That is the Daily Ding podcast. Don't forget to check out the other podcasts on the Athletic NBA network. We have No Dunks, we have House of Strauss, we have the Athletic NBA show featuring Mo on Nerd or She Wrote. Plus, we have plenty of shows around the NBA on your favorite team. So be sure to go check those out. Be sure to subscribe to The Athletic at theathletic.com/ding. And be sure to listen to Mo say the two words we say at the end of every single show.
Ding, ding.
Awesome. That was smooth as butter.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.